Tonight's daf is daf Chafalf. Tani asked me to learn Lila Nishmas, his step-grandmother, I think it was, Rachel Bas Shmuel. So the Gemara begins on the top of Chafalf Amunalf. Shalach le Rebbe Abba bar Zavda lemari bar mar. Bay minei mervuna hadar bechatzer chaver shlomi daito. So this question we've been dealing with already, haven't gotten to an answer yet. A person who's living in a chatzer, someone else's chatzer, shlomi daito, without asking permission. Do you have to pay rent or do you not have to pay rent? What's the bottom line here? After this back and forth, Rav Huna was nifter. So Amar lay Rabba bar Rav Huna. So his son Rabba said, "Hachi Amar Abba, my father said, marry Mishmei de Rav in the name of Rav. Eino tarach lhalos laschar." He quoted his father, quoting Rav, "You do not have to pay the rent." Vasocher bais me Ruvain malaschar leShimon. So then he says, if a guy rents a house in Reuven, he pays Shimon. So Shimon, my Havidase, why is Shimon getting rent? It's Reuven's house. So Gemara says, Hachi Kamar. No, the case is, Nimsa Bais Shel Shimon Malo Loschar. So let's say a guy is renting from Reuven. Turns out Reuven stole it from Shimon, so it's really Shimon's property. So then I have to really pay to the proper landlord, I need to pay Shimon. So Gemara says, Tarti, that's a steer with each other. Because one place, you say the first case, Hadar B'chatzer Shalomi Daito, you don't have to pay Schar. The second case where I'm living in the guy's house, I think it's Reuven's house, but it's really Shimon's house. That's in essence Shalom Adaito. And here they say, I do have to pay for the house. So there's a stira. So the Gemara answers, ha, the kaima la'agra, ha, de lo kaima la'agra. No, it depends. If it's a situation that the house is normally rented out, so then you would have to pay for the house even if the person doesn't know. But in a case where I normally would not rent out the house, then you do not have to pay for the house. It's Marnami. It was also said, Amr Bichir bar Abin, Amr Rav, Amr Yilei, Amr Bichir bar Abin, Amr Rav Huno. Hadar Bichotzer Chaveir Shalom Adaito, Ein Tzarech Lalos Laschar. You do not have to pay rent for living in someone else's, squatting in someone else's property. Vasochar Bais Mibnei Ha'ir. A person rents from the city a house, Mala Laschar Labailam. You have to pay to the owner. Where it says, Bailam Mayavidas Hayu. Aren't you renting from the Bnei Ha'ir? So Gemara says, "Hachi kamar nimtzu lo bailim malin loschar." If you're renting a seemingly vacant apartment, so you rent it from the city, and it turns out you find out who the owner is. The owner comes back, so you have to pay the money to the real rightful owner. But didn't we just say hadar b'chatzer chaver shalom edaito in a tzarach lalos loschar? The guy didn't know. You're just sitting there. He didn't know any better. You didn't have to rent the house from him. So that says the Gemara Tarti. So that's the difference. If it's a house that's typically rented out, so then you would have to pay rent, even in Shalom Adaito. If it's a bias or chatzar that's not normally rented out, so if it's Shalom Adaito, you do not have to pay for the house or chatzar.
Shalom Adaito of the living guy? Or
of the maschir. The maschir.
The owner doesn't know that somebody needs it.
So Amar Rav Schora, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Hadar v'chatzar chavei Shalom Adaito, ain't tzarech lalo schar again. A guy who's squatting in someone's property without asking permission, he does not have to pay rent. Mishum Shinemar, he quotes a pasuk that says, "Evishiya yukas shar." A pasuk in Yeshaya. What does this mean? If you look at Rashi, around six narrow lines down in Rashi, Shinemar v'shiya yukas shar, shade sheshmo shiya. That's the name of a shade. Mikases shar by shein b'nei adam darimba. Apparently, when a house stays vacant for a period of time, there's a certain shade that lives in that place. So therefore, Hilkach Zesh Amar Baha now. So the reason why I don't have to pay, I'm actually benefiting the maschir, the owner of the house. It's been vacant. It's up in the country. So he leaves for the winter, so no one's living there. That means these shadim are going to start haunting his house. So if I live in the house while he's away in the winter, I'm actually protecting his house by keeping the shadim out. So therefore, that's why he's not chaser, he's actually getting hana by me living there. So then says the Gemara, Amar Mar by Rav Ashi, Lididi Chazili, I once saw the shade, Umenagech Kitura. He would gore like an ox. Okay. Rav Yosef, Amar Besa, Mitzvah Yosef. Rav Yosef gives a different reason. Not because of the shade, not because of scaring the shade out. Because in a house, Mitzvah Yosef, you sit around, you see what's needed. Look at Rashi, Besa, Mitzvah Yosef. Bais Shehu Miyushav, Bediras Bnei Adam, a house that's settled by people. Yosef Yeshuva Kayim, it will stay, it will be maintained properly. A person is living in a house, that's why the houses that fall apart are the ones no one lives in because no one's taking care of it. So a person's living in the house, you see there's a little leak, so you fix the leak. You see there's a crack, you fix the crack. So you actually fix it up. So by me living in his house, and I see what's wrong, and I fix it, so then that's protecting his house.
So taking upon himself that obligation?
So he doesn't take it upon himself, but we imagine if a person's living there, he doesn't want the house to collapse. Ain't a chanami if he doesn't.
Collapse?
Right. Right, but yeah, I think you're right. If a person lives there, he's just like squatting. He's not necessarily going to take care of the house for the guy. So it's a nice guy. He said, listen, if I'm using his property, I may as well fix it for him anyways. And also, they probably were a lot handier than we are. So for them to like fix a little something, they probably was nothing for them. Okay. The Gemara says, my benayu, what's the nafkamina between these two svaras? Iki benayu, the kamashamish bay b'tzivi v'tivna. Let's say you're using his house, his property, for storing things. The tivna is straw. Tzivi, I think, are chips of wood or something. Where's Rashi? That's right. What did it say? I think it had wood chips. You're storing it. No? What did he say?
Wooden
it is?
Straw.
Yeah, wooden straw.
Wooden straw, okay. Wooden straw. So you're using it to store. So how is this a nafkamina? So if it's for the purpose of fixing it up, so Rashi doesn't explain which direction you're going. I'm going to suggest if you for fixing it up, so then by you storing things in and out, so then you'll know what needs as you go in and out. But if it's about to scare the shadim away, I guess the fact that the person is not living there regularly, he's not living there at all actually, that won't necessarily scare away the shadim. Okay, Gemara now says, Hahu gavra debana afdana, a certain person built an afdana, what's an afdana? Like a big house of some sort. So a kilkasa diyasmi, the kilkasa, the garbage, Rashi says, anything ashba, the garbage of the bad part of the Yisomim's land. So agve Rav Nachman laftanai minei. So Rav Nachman came along and confiscated this aftana from him. Lema kisavar Rav Nachman, is this to suggest that Rav Nachman holds hadar b'chatzir chaveru shlomo daito tzarach lalo shloschar, that you have to pay, and that was the payment. He says, listen, you lived on the property of the Yisomim, you need to pay, I'm collecting this aftana as your payment. This goes against everything we've been saying up until now. So the Gemara says, Hahu me kara karamani havadaribe. No, that case, initially there was this karmanai. What's karmanai? Rashi says it's a shame umma. People were living there already. And Rashi explains further that they're paying schar to the Yisomim. And now Yahavle Lisme Yasme Davramur. And they're paying a low rent to the Yisomim to live on their property. So now this guy goes ahead and takes away that property from them. So the Yisomim are losing out. Meaning if it was a property that no one lived on at all, and then these people came and squatted on the land, we wouldn't make them pay rent. But now they came on, and they would collect rent from these people who lived on their garbage. So they're causing a loss to the Yisomim, that's why they have to pay the Yisomim. So if they have to pay the Yisomim, says the Gemara, Amle zil paisinu liyasme. So why don't they just give them money? Why are you giving the aftana to the Yisomim? Why not pay them some money? So the Gemara says, lo ashkech. They didn't pay attention. They didn't care. Rav Nachman first said, you owe money to the Yisomim. They refused to pay it. So in light of that, agve Rav Nachman laftana minei. So therefore, since they weren't willing to pay the money that they owed the Yisomim, that's why he confiscated this aftana, this house of some sort, to the Yisomim. Okay, Gemara now says, Keta mishalem es mashin henes. The Mishnah told us that that if the animal doesn't cause nezek, but it causes, it gets hana, you have to pay hana to it. So again, remember the case, shame. An animal walking in the Rosh Hashanah, Taka, we should maybe move really to the classroom. Should we do that tomorrow? Let's move to the classroom tomorrow. Let's try to remember that. We'll move to the classroom. So the lach is that shame, an animal that eats in the Rosh Hashanah, he's pater. Shame is pater Rosh Hashanah. But if the animal gets hana, so or really the Baal HaShor gets hana because he doesn't have to pay the next meal, then you have to pay hana to the person, the nizak, who lost his fruit that was left over in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Rav explains, Uve Mechazeres. It's talking about where he turned his head around. What does that mean, Mechazeres? Says Rashi, look at Rashi around halfway down the narrow lines, Amar Rav Mechazeres, Rosha Merchava Letzida. He turned his head from the street to the side street, to the sidewalk, let's say. V'achla peros, and he ate the fruit on the side. Katani masisin de mashalames mashe hezika. That you have to pay for what you caused damage to. Afagav de kula kayima b'rechava. Even though the animal is situated in the Rosh Hashanah, since his head was bent towards the Rosh Hashanah, or the Rosh Hashanah, he has to pay the full amount of a nezek. Shmuel says the Gemara now, Shmuel Mar, afilu b'mechazeres nami pata. He argues, no. Even if he turns his head off onto the side, since the body is in Rishus HaRabim, he's going to be potter, because Shane is potter, Rishus HaRabim. You go buster the guf for the animal. So the Gemara says, now, Lushmuel, Hecha Mishkachas Lad Mechaev. So according to Shmuel, when would you ever find the case where you're actually going to be chayiv? Let's see, chayiv in what? Chayiv in hana. Because if you're in a chayiv, I guess in shit, which case we're trying to figure out right now? Right, the Mishnah, the wrong point. The Mishnah was saying, Mitzidei harachava mishalames masha hezeka. If the animal causes damage on the side streets, then you're chayiv to pay nezek. So what's that case? So Rav says the case where the animal's in the rechov and his head is in the tzidei rechava. But according to Shmuel, since the body's in the rechov, so therefore you're still going to be potter. That's still considered Rosh Hashanah, even though the Rosh is on tzidei rechava. So what's the case of Rav where you're chayiv in tzidei rechava? So the Gemara explains, kigon deshavkasa rechava vazala kame betzidei rechava. Very simple. Where the animal goes off the road and he starts walking through the alleyways. Now the entire body is in the tzidei rechava. That's where you're chayiv in tzidei rechava. Ikidemasne, others learn laha shmaisa the sugi ba'apin afshe as independent discussion. Meaning what? Machzeres. What's the halacha machzeres? Not qualifying our mission at all. An animal is walking, his head is turned into the tzidei rechava. What's the halacha? Rav Amar Chayeves, because you go bust of the Rosh, and Shmuel Amar Petura, because you go bust of the Guf. According to Shmuel, who says you're Pater in this case, when would you ever be Chayev Nezek for Tidei Rechava? Again, it's the Mechayeva, Kagon Deshavka Lerechava, Vazla Vakama, but Tidei Rechava. If the animal goes off course, leaves the street, and it goes into the Tidei Rechava, then you'd be Chayev for the Nezek. Ask the Gemara, Gesundheit, Masiv, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Let's say there are fruits outside in the stand. He's trying to advertise some of the nice vegetables in the street, and the animal eats it. You pay the hana that you get. So, how could you find this? Pshita b'mechzeres. The only way you could think about doing this is look at Rashi. Rashi says pshita b'mechzeres. It's obvious the only way the animal could get to this is if it turns his head to the side. Because the whole body's not going to fit next to the store. So the body's on the road, and we're assuming there's some type of sidewalk, so it turned his body onto the sidewalk a little bit. Must be, that's the case here. So if that's the case, it's machzeres, we see that all you have to pay is kamar mashinenis, mashinenis in mashezekalo. You only pay the hana you get for machzeres, but you don't pay nezikin. Above, Rav says, a case of machzeres, you pay nezikin, where the animal's in the street and the rosh is on the side. But this case says, even in the case of machzeres, you only pay hana, not nezikin, against Rav supporting Shmuel. So the Gemara says, who mosivla? Rav Nachman asked the question of who mefarkla. He answered, the kaima b'keren zavis. No, the situation where it's in a corner. So the way it works is, let's say you're walking down the street here, and then at the corner here is where the store puts the fruit out. So the animal is walking straight into where it's mamash on the street, I guess. The animal's facing forward. So it's on the street. The entire body, and I think also the head as well, is in the street. That's where it's a situation where you only pay hana. But in Echanami, if he turned his head on the side and took it out from the Tzidei Rechava, in Echanami he would be Chayv Nezek. Okay. That's the case here, okay? So he's standing. Where's the animal standing? In Mavoi Gadol?
He's in the Mavoi Gadol going towards the Mavoi Katan, and it's protruding a little bit towards the Chanut.
Between. Okay, so it's straight. So he walks straight into it, basically. Right. He doesn't turn his head at all. Yeah. Okay. Fine. The Gemara now says, Ika de Amri, others say as follows. Mechazeres kuli amalo pligi de chayeves. Everybody agrees when the animal turns his head off to the side, he's chayev because they go bas of the guf, which is in Rosh Hashanah. I'm sorry, other way around. They go bas of the rosh, which is in Tzidei Rechava, your chayev. Ki pligi, when they argue, is bimaksa makam reshuso the shisarabim. Where the guy designated part of his own property, he said, I'm going to give it away to Rosh Hashanah. V'hachid mar. And this on that, it said as follows. Just look at Rashi for a second. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, b'mak t'makam, right below the picture there, shekines l'toch shelo, ubana the Niach Mikarkal of Shizrabim. He had given over some of his land to the Rishisarabim, the Shetach Sham Peros, and he spread some fruit on that area. And an animal enters into that property, which is really owned by the individual, but he had given over to Rishisarabim. So one would think he should be Pater. It's Shein Rishisarabim. So the Gemara explains now, V'hachi Itmar. I'm a Rav, Loshan of Machzeres. This is only true that you're Chayiv Machzeres when the animal turns his head. When the guy gives his property over to Rosh Hashanah, then you're going to be potter. That's Shein Rosh Hashanah. But Shmuel Amar, Afilu makse makom mishusa Rosh Hashanah chayeves. He says, even if the guy was very nice to give his property over to Rosh Hashanah, you're still going to be chayev. Why? Rashi doesn't explain why this is. I guess it never, again, never becomes Rosh Hashanah. Let's look what the Gemara says. Lema, let's say, Lema b'bor b'shusha kamithlagi. They're arguing about a boar in his own rishus, right? The lach is that a boar is in rishus harabim. That's when you're chayv. That's one of the two examples that even though it's not in your rishus anymore, it's kilu, it's in your rishus. So a boar, it has to be rishus harabim. But let's say I have now a boar in rishus hayachid, but rishus harabim could get to it because now I have no fence. So it's standing in the way, but it's really my property line. What's the lach in that case? So let's see. Rav Damar Pater, he holds Kesavar Bor Bishuso Chayiv. He holds your Pater by the case of Shein, so therefore Bor in your own Rishuso Chayiv. Why is that? And we'll finish a line and I'll look at Rashi in just a moment. Ushmul Amar Chayiv Kesavar Bor Bishuso Pater. What's going on here? So look at Rashi Lema. Rashi is Lema Rav Ushmul Bechofer Bor Bishuso. I dig a pit in my Rishus. It's a case where I'm mafkir my land now, but I'm not mafkir my boar. I still own my pit. So let's see the case here. So therefore, when I place my fruit out here, my property, I'm chayv on midimbor. So why am I potter then? Sharei hivker rushuso, hukach lo haya lo lasos kein. V'kayim lam b'miniach etzakad, kol mekalkin b'shus harabim, shizikul chayv l'shalim v'chol masik v'en zachar. I'll finish the one line and I'll just try to explain this. So Shmuel Amar Saver Potter, hukach behema sheach losen chayeve sharei b'shuso, b'shus asa, b'shus harabim nami lo have she'en zederach hilucha. What's he explaining here? Okay, so Shmuel says you're potter in the case here of if the animal eats. No, sorry, he says you're chayv. He says you're potter by the case of boar. So therefore, you're chayv in eating it. Okay, I see what's going on here. The shein, you only chayv for shein if it's in Rishus Yachid. And boar, you only chayv if it's in Rishus Harabim. So they work opposite. So in Rishus Harabim, there's a chiv boar, but there's a ptur in shein. In Rishus Yachid, there's a chiv on shein, but there's a ptur in boar. So what's going on here is as follows. Shmuel holds that you're pater. In such a case where I had made a boar in my own Rishus Yachid, I'm patern because it's not a boar, it's my Rishus Yachid. But therefore, if a person eats from my property, then it would be considered a chay because it's my rishus hayachid. And Rav holds that for setting up a boar in that case, it is as if I'm giving it over to rishus harabim. So it has a din of rishus harabim. So I'm chay midin boar, but an animal who eats from it's going to be pater because it's really going to be rishus harabim. That's what's going on here.
Is there a fence
here now? Must not be a fence. If there's a fence, then it wouldn't be rishus harabim. It wouldn't work, I don't think. So, okay. So that's what the Gemara suggests, initially, what's going on here. And the Gemara says, Amalecha, the last line of the Amud here, Amalecha Rav, Li'olam Eimalecha Ba'ama. Rav says, really, in general, I hold Bor B'rishusa Pater. I hold that a Bor in a private property is considered Pater. In Rishus Rabim?
Yubicha,
exactly. Right? Uv Shiny Hacha, here's different. So here's different why. De Amar Lav Kol Kaminech, because you have no right here to bring your fruit close to Rishis Rabbim and the Mechayiv Mashur. I mean, it's not right here that you're, you know, putting it out there for my animal. You're tempting my animal to eat the food here. So that's not really right. And therefore, that's why the Shur is Potter. You can't just place a stumbling block in front of my animal. Animals are animals. So that's your fault for doing that, even though it might be your property. It's considered your Rishis Yachid. And it didn't bore. If you trip on a bore, you're actually going to be I'm Potter because it's my Rishis Yachid. There's no bore in Rishis Yachid. But still, so if it's Rishis Yachid and your animal eats my property, you should be chayiv. The guy says, not fair. You can't just place your fruit right in the corner here to just cause my animals to trip up. That's you. We're just causing it. It's a michshel you're placing for my animal. For those reasons, you're Potter. Ushmu Amar Ba'alma Bor Rishis Chayiv. He thinks in this case, you're actually chayiv. When I build a rishus, it bore my rishus, and I'm mafkir to rishus rabim, it does become rishus rabim, and I'm chay midin bore. The bishlma bore ikal meimar lava daite. So I understand why I'm chay for the bore, because look at Rashi. The bishlma bore ikal meimar lava daite. The shor linturi nafshimi bore. The shor to protect itself from a pit doesn't know that. And the chayvin the rishus nichnas the ha hifkir rishus chay bal bore. But then Rashi says, Gemara says, El Peros, Mi'ikl Meimar Lava Daite, Hachazile. When it comes to the animal of the shore, the owner of the shore rather, he sees the fruit. He should have held back the shore and say, don't eat the fruit. He saw it was there. The boar he didn't see. You can't see the boar. So that's the fault of the Baal HaBor. But in terms of the Peros, I should have held back my shore from eating the animal, the fruits. And for that reason, Shmuel thinks you'd be Chayiv, even though it's considered Rishus HaRabim, you're still going to be Chayiv. Okay.
I don't think you can hold the show.
No? Maybe you should start working out a little bit more. Says the Gemara, Lema, Mechazeres Tanaihi. Maybe this idea of Mechazeres, we saw before, it's a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Mechazeres. Let's suggest it's really a Machlokas Tanaim from before Rav and Shmuel. Let's see, the Tani, the Brisa says, Ochla mitoch harachava mishalames mashahenenis. Person, an animal rather, eats from fruit that are in the Rechova, you pay only what you get Hana, because again, let's keep reminding ourselves of the halachas. Shein Rishis Rabim is Pater, but you still pay the Hana. So you pay the Hana you get for eating the fruit for in the Rechova. Mitzidei Rechova, Mishalem Es Mashe Azeka. The side streets are considered Rishis, or non-Rishis Rabim, let's say Rishis Hayachids, and then you're Chai for Nezek, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Divrei Rabbi Meir, Vir Rabbi Yehuda, period. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Eliezer, Omrim, Ein Darchel Lechel El Halach. Animals only eat while they walk straight. Okay. And we'll see what that means in a second. The words, what do you mean? Rabbi Yossi, Hainu Tanakam. That's the same exact thing. What is Rabbi Yossi arguing on between Rabbi Meir? Ella must be Mechazeres Ikebenayu. That's the difference. That Tanakama Savar Mechazeres Nami Mishal Mashinenis. If an animal's walking and turns its head, and only the head is in Sidi Berechava, you only pay Hana. You go Basar the Gufa, according to the Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi Savar Mishalemes Mashi Azeka. No, you go bust to the Rosh. The Rosh is in the Tzidei Rechava. You pay the Nezek. That's the Machlokas. So we see the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel is Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi. Where he says, well, that's not the Machlokas. The Chuli Amun Mechazeres, everybody agrees, Mechazeres Ikravi Kishmuel. However they paskin, they're both in agreement. Either they both paskin like Rav, that you're Chayv in Mechazeres, or they both paskin like Shmuel, that you're Pot in Mechazeres. But here, it's a completely different Machlokas. Hacha, Bibir Besoder Acher Kamithlagi. The pasuk says, when it talks about beer, which is referring to Shein, eating, so Shein, the Shein has to be Besoder Acher, which typically means in the Rishus HaNizak. If my animal does Shein, eats your fruit in your Rishus HaNizak, I'm Chayiv. So what's the Machlokas here? So Kamithlagi, they're arguing about this pasuk. Mar Savar U Bier Besoder Acher Velo Rishus Rabim. To the exclusion of Rishus Rabim, you only put there Rishus Rabim, but you're chayv any other place that's not Rishus Rabim. And Mar Savar, Bier B'Sedei Acher, V'lo Rishus HaMazik. So it says, in another field, but not Rishus HaMazik. Sounds like a Rishus HaRabim that's perhaps owned by both of them, or neither of them, then you'd be chayv according to the second Mandamar. So Gemara says, Rishus HaMazik, Lema...
Isn't it saying that according to that second name, Bier B'Sedei Acher, V'lo Rishus HaMazik, meaning that only Rishus HaMazik...
You're putter. Yeah.
So come at the Rishus HaRabim,
you're the Chayim. Yeah. Or maybe at least, it's hard to say Rishus HaRabim. It might be the areas like Lov, Zet, I mean the third party's property maybe. Let's see if Rashi talks about this. Rashi says, Lov Rishus HaMazik, Shim Hichnis Perosav Lechatzir Baal Habayis, Shalob Rishus V'Achlasan Behemtosh Baal Habayis Pater. No, he doesn't talk about the other case here. like Tzidei Rechava, let's say. Tzidei Rechava is it's a neutral area. It's not Rishis Rabim, but it's not Rishis HaMazik or Rishis HaNizak. That's probably the case that it's talking about. Tzidei Rechava. So the Gemara now says, Rishis HaMazik, Lema Pircha Bishusi, my boy. So I guess it's such an obvious point. Why do you have to exclude that? Kralamali, says Rashi. So obvious, of course. If you bring your animal to my backyard, eat all my tomatoes I'm growing, of course you're chayiv. Well, why didn't you pasuk to say that you're chayiv in that case? It's certainly, I'm sorry, other way around, I'm sorry. If you bring your fruit in my backyard and you feed my dog, so you're going to make me pay for eating your fruit, you put it in my dog's mouth. Of course you're pater in that case. You don't need a pasuk to tell me that. So that can't be the machlokas. Ella, the Gemara says that Nafkamina is Ella de Ilfa Rabbi Oshaya Ikabanayo. There, that's the machlokas. Who's Ilfa? Who's Rabbi Oshaya? So says the Gemara, just to remind us, Rashi rather says, right around where we are in the Gemara, de Ilfa Rabbi Oshaya, de Amar Ilfa Le'el Behema Shepasha Tavara V'achla Me'al Gave Chaver. Two animals are walking next to each other. One animal sticks his neck out and eats the fruit on the back of his friend. Chayeves, you have to pay according to Ilfa. With Rabbi Oshaya, de Amar Behema Behakofetet V'achla Mitocha Kupa Chayeves. Only if you jump. So that whole discussion, that's the machlokas here, what they're referring to. How it fits in, I'm not really sure how it fits in, but that's what the Gemara suggests is the nafkamina. Okay. New Mishnah tells us now. Hakelev v'agadi shekafsa mirosh hagag v'shavros hakelim. So let's say you have a dog or a goat that jumped from a rooftop and broke kelim when it landed. Mishalim nezek shalim. You have to pay Nezek, the full amount, Mipnei Shein Muadim. They're Muadim, that's Rashi says, Muadim Likvot, dogs and goats, they jump. That's something they normally do. And Rashi says further, just to point out and to remind us again, Ubrishus HaNizak Kamar Dotolda de Regel. Now we're talking about Regel. So Regel, anything that's done Matsui, that's Der Chilucho, that's normal, that's considered Regel. So jumping up and down or jumping on Kalim is considered normal, but has to Dafka be in Rishus HaNizak. Regel is Pater Brishus HaRabim. So if my dog or goat jumped up into David's backyard and broke his kelim, I'm chayav to pay the full amount. Then the Mishnah says, Hakelev shenatal charara. And dog that takes a charara, it's some type of a bread that's been very hot bread and cold of some sort. What do they say in English? A good word for it?
A biscuit.
Okay, but I think it's a hot biscuit, right?
Yeah,
right. Hot. Hot biscuit. Hot biscuit, okay. And he goes over to a pile of hay. He carries his hot biscuit over and eats the charara. And hidlika gadish. At the same time, he lights the gadish on fire, and the whole field goes on fire now. Acharara mishalim nezek shalim. He has to pay the full amount. The dog owner has to pay the full amount of the biscuit. And al gadish mishalim chati nezek. And on the property that was burnt through the fire, through ash, you only pay half the amount. And the Gemara is going to explain why that is. So, but you pay the charara midin shein, and the chati nezek is midin tsraros of some sort. Eish, we'll see again the Gemara, not today, but maybe tomorrow the Gemara will discuss why only half of the gedish. So Gemara says, taima the kafsu, only because the gedi and the kelev jumped off the rooftop, are you chayiv? Ha naflu pater. But let's say they fell, they tripped, they fell and landed and crashed over the kelim, then I would be pater for breaking David's kelim. So Alma, we see from here, Kesavar, a very important principle here. Tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa b'onis pater. If initially there's some type of pshia, I'm the owner of the dog, the owner of the goat. By letting my dog go into the rooftop, that's pshia. I know he could jump down. They normally jump and he could break your kelim. So I shouldn't have let him go. I should have brought him down. So that's pshia. The initial point of pshia for letting him being up on top of the rooftop. Now the end, he ends up slipping. That's an onis. Animals don't slip. They once in a while they do, but that's onis. So he ends up falling and fell down. So we see, even though initially it was done b'pshia, I let him go up there b'pshia, in the end the damage was caused through onus, I'm pater. I go based on sofa b'onus. Gemara says, he brings a brisa to support this, Tane Nami Hachi, HaKelev V'Agdi Shekofsu Mirosh HaGag V'Shavrus HaKelem Mishalem Nesek Shalem, Naflu Pturin. But the brisa says explicitly, if they fall, you're pater. So what's pshat in the brisa? So that only makes sense. Hanich l'man namar. This only makes sense if you assume tchilasa b'pshia b'sofa bonus pater. Even though initially it was done b'pshia, the fact that I let my dog go on the roof, that's pshia. But in the end, since he fell, that's onus. I go bust to the end, that's pater. But the problem becomes l'man namar. There's an opinion out there that says chayiv If I assume that tchilas of b'pshia, sof of bonus is chayiv, because since it started off with b'pshia, I don't care how it ended, but I let him go on the rooftop in the first place. Had I had the proper shmira, it never would have got to that point of him falling. So I'm really at fault here. I should have to pay. So you have to pay. How come this brisa says naflu pater? Isn't that a case of tchilas of b'pshia, the sof of bonus? I should be chayiv. The Gemara says it's kagon de mekarve kalim legave kosel, where the kalim were very pushed up against the wall. What does that do? The chid kapsa bekvita lo nafli layu vafilu tchilasa bepshia leka. The, you know, obviously when the goats and dogs jump, they're not going to jump straight, they jump far away from the wall. So the kalim were so close to the wall that if the dogs or goats were to jump, they wouldn't land on the kalim. Now, at the end of the day, since they fell, so then they fell in the onus. But initially, the pshia is not them going to the roof. The pshia is that going to the roof and having the ability to jump to another set of kalim. Since that wasn't a possibility here, it wasn't tchilas of a pshia, because they couldn't jump down to the kalim. They could only fall to the kalim. That's not even considered tchilas of a pshia.
But if they do start to jump on the kalim, we're saying that they're chayiv, and it's not considered to be something mishuna, even though we're saying that they were... This kalim were situated in a way that was difficult for them to reach the pizza.
I'm saying if they were to jump straight down, not fall.
Not going,
the Bryce has just said that they're chayiv the pizza, right. They're just putter by nafal.
Kvitsa, because if they're the kvitsa obviously is talking about a case of kvitsa straight down, because there's no kalim further away. So kvitsa.
So apparently it's close enough that it doesn't
hit
the wall.
Look at Tosas. Look at Tosas, right. Tosas again, Adam again, if we took, you know, got a dollar for every time Adam was mechavin to a Tosas, we'd be very, very wealthy right now. The Tosas writes, Hanaflu Ptur Nalma Ksavar Vechule, Im Tomar, Hechidami. Eid v'karve kalim l'gave kosel. If they're so close to the kosel, hecha misabre b'kvita. How could they break the kalim by jumping? They don't jump straight; they jump away from the wall. V'ha minan b'samach d'chi kapsi me'avrai kapsi v'merchaki hecha misabre b'nefila. And if they're further away, so then how could they break if they fall down? They fall down straight. You don't fall down away from the wall. So what's the answer? Yishomar kigon chayu lo merchakos lo mekuravos. They're not too close. They're not too far. Somewhere in between. There's such a place where if they tumble over, they'll fall and land in the kalim. But those are further enough that if they take a small little leap, they'll also land on top of those kalim. Inami b'chli arach, or a very long kli. So it's going to be in range of their falling, it's also in range of their jumping. Okay, that's how they answer your question. Okay, the Gemara says now, but that's the case though, then it's even tchilas b'pshir then. But he's saying here, the Gemara says, "Afil b'tchilasa b'pshia leka."
Right.
We're so close to the wall, so then even tchila isn't pshia. But now, if we're saying it's a situation, maybe this is the first man number. This is according to the beginning of the Gemara now. But even according to the maskana, the question still stands.
To say like somehow it was. They could have jumped over it, so it wasn't Shia. They could have jumped over it.
Uh huh.
A good jump.
They didn't.
Right. I'm not sure, yeah. Okay. Tzarechim. Says the Gemara now. Amar Rav Zid says, Mishmei Dirava Pamim. Sometimes even when you fall, when the animals fall, there's a chiv. Ah, isn't it ones? There's no chayiv, even according to the man damar tchilas of b'pshia. So for bonus, they'll agree in certain circumstances that they're potter, that they're chayiv, and then the fila. How? Mishkachas la b'kosel ru'a, in a very weak, a bad wall. Why? It says Rashi, shemakeh hagag ru'a, the fence on top of the roof is very, very weak. The goat goes up against the fence, it could knock over and fall. So that's going to be pshia, even legabe nefila as well. So what's the shaila here? So Gemara asks Gemara, does he have to know that the wall is weak? Meaning me being the shomer of the gedi, I have to check every brick and every fence that it's a strong fence? That's not pshia on my part. So the Gemara says, sof lo nafil. Wait a second, no, hold on a second. Matthew, I'm misreading that point. Yes, sof lo nafil archive nafal inu. In the end of the day, the walls didn't fall. The brick, he fell. The animal fell. And tchilas b'pshia v'sof a bonus. So even if it is a tchilas b'pshia, in the end, the animal fell, and it's going to be sof a bonus. So I should still be potter in that case. That can't be a case where I'm chayv in the end, just because it's a weak wall. I need to make sure the wall doesn't fall. Where it says no, lo tzricha b'kosot tsar. Very narrow wall is the situation we're talking about here. And that's very, very likely. I don't have to check the walls out. And that's, I clearly see how weak it is, how narrow it is, rather. And therefore, that's considered tchilas b'pshia and even sofa b'pshia. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, b'kosot tsar, shemaka gar tsar v'dachak. Not that the wall, but the fence is very, very weak. When I place my animals on the rooftop, I should have anticipated that's going to jump over it like it normally does. That's how Rashi explains this. I thought the Pshat was like the second Lashon of Rashi, Lashon of Achuna, Tsar Meshupa, where it's a very sloped type of wall. My understanding was I didn't even view this as being a wall, a fence there. I just saw like an open rooftop, the very narrow walls climbing, and it could slip down the wall. That's how I understood it, which I think what Rashi's kind of trying to say here. Either way, that situation where the owner, the Baal HaGadi, the Baal Kelv, can anticipate some level of Nefila, so then that's considered Tchilas HaBashia and even Sofa HaBashia as well, because he should not have let his animal go up there in the first place. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day. Tomorrow in the classroom, yes. Remind us, please. Remind me.